First reading and the gospel, we are told what the first and greatest commandment is. And obviously it's worthwhile to reflect on this a little bit more deeply so that we get what our Lord is telling us in the first and greatest commandment. Because I think it's all too easy, since we hear it often, to hear the Lord your God is Lord alone, and you're to love him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And basically just to translate that into love God a lot. You know, God's important, love God a lot. But if it's the first and greatest commandment, it's obviously a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more profound than that. And our Lord uses four specific kinds of love, with your whole heart, with your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. And God doesn't waste words. So there's something important about each of those terms, and they each tell us something different. It's also important to reflect on this because we kind of forget what the word love means. We use it a lot, and we tend to throw it around and not really reflect on the different ways in which we use it. You say, I love my family member. I love pizza. I love the Detroit Lions. I'm just kidding. No one loves the Detroit Lions. But we throw that term around quite a bit. And so it's worthwhile to think about this first and greatest commandment and to remind ourselves what it really means to love God with everything in us. So firstly, he says, with your whole heart. The heart is the place where symbolically resides the affections, the longings, the yearning that we have. When we pine for something, we're said to do so from the heart. And we can all probably relate to that experience. You know, there's someone in our life or someone that we miss or a place that we miss or something like that that we long for, that we pine for, that our heart seems to be pulling us toward. And that's fine to have that longing for things of this world too, right? To miss a loved one, to miss a place that is meaningful to you, etc., etc. But we also need to ask ourselves in the same moment, do I ever feel like that about God and the things of God? Do I ever feel like that about heaven? Do I find myself longing for heaven and longing for God? My mind drifts off during the day. Is my daydream more likely to be about longing for God or what I'm going to eat tonight? Well, all too often for me, it's the latter, right? But it's important for us to reflect on how often we can say our heart is engaged in our relationship with God. How often do we actually find ourselves longing for God and pining for him? Because if we do so for lesser goods, you know, people in this world, things in this world, places in this world, then absolutely our heart is made to long for the greatest good, the infinite good, which is God himself. So maybe we should think about how I can engage my heart more in my spiritual life, how I can really try to pine and long for God, to long to be with him, to long to receive him in the Eucharist. That's the first one, love God with all your heart. Second one, love God with all your mind. It's helpful to reflect on what occupies our mind more. Is it things of this world? Is it the things of God? Are they worthy things or are they not so worthy things? How much do I apply myself to the study of the sacred word? How often do I apply myself to reading the wisdom of the saints and the wisdom of the doctors of the church, trying to understand God and trying to understand the mysteries that he revealed to us more? Because that determines how well we love him, how deeply we love him, is how well we know him and how deeply we know him. If you don't know someone very well, then you are not capable of loving them very well. And the more you know someone, the more you can love them. In terms of human beings, it's also the case that the more you know them, the more you can not like them, right? But for God, that's not a danger because he is all good. So the more we come to know God, the more we have a capacity to love him. And if we hold off from trying to study the things of God, trying to contemplate and meditate who God is and what he revealed to us, if we take our time to do that, then we will be able to love him more. That's why it's part of the great commandment. Because God gave us reason. He gave us our intellects, not just to know the truths of nature, but primarily to know him in a personal way, to understand him. Our union with God in heaven is actually of a kind of an intellectual sort, that we are seeing God intellectually, and of course with our hearts, but seeing God as he is, face to face. That's what our mind is for, to know our Creator, to know our Redeemer. And if we're not using it for that purpose, if we're not using it to contemplate the things of God, then not only are we not fulfilling the first commandment, the first and greatest commandment, but we're also not even fulfilling our human nature, which was made separate from all the rest of creation by having a mind, having an intellect. So heart and mind, soul. The soul is where the grace of God resides. We talk about having grace in our soul. We talk about the state of our soul. And that brings up the question, how often do we think about the state of our soul? How often do I think about or wonder or care about whether or not I'm in God's grace, whether I'm in the state of grace or not? And how often do I care about how many opportunities I miss during the day to grow in that grace? How often do I think about whether or not I've made my soul into a place where God's grace can reside? How often do I think about whether or not I need to go and receive God's mercy to be renewed in that grace again? How often do I desire to grow in grace? Or do I just kind of remain complacent in my spiritual life? Thinking about the state of our soul is important because the most important sign of success we can have in our life, I've mentioned before, is to leave this world united to God. That means leave this world in His grace. Leave this world with God's grace in our soul. And the greatest tragedy that can ever befall a human being is to leave this world without God's grace in our soul. And we know that we can cut Him off from ourselves. Even though He's always seeking us, He's always searching for us, we can cut Him off. So that's something that needs to be on our mind. Is my soul totally engaged in trying to remain united to God and to grow more intimately in my relationship with God? So heart, mind, soul, strength. Strength is a tough one because, as we all know, love sometimes is an act of the will and nothing more. Sometimes it's not supported by good feelings. Sometimes it's not supported by any kind of consolation. It's just a mere act of the will. And so we need to ask ourselves, how often do I try and persevere in those moments? Do I really do what's necessary? Do I make the necessary efforts to avoid those things that lead me into sin? Do I persevere? Do I remain faithful to prayer even when it's difficult? How often do I apply my strength to the spiritual life, especially in those times when it's not supported by the good feelings and consolation and grace? And those moments are very frequent, you know, where we don't have a particularly fervent feeling. We don't feel particularly close to God, or we don't feel particularly conscious of His presence. That's when we say we need to love God with all our strength, that our act of the will needs to be always remain united to God and always do what is necessary to remain united to Him. We apply a lot of effort and strength to other things in our life, to our work, of course, to our family, and rightly so. But how often do we apply that strength of will to remain faithful to God, to persevere in our pursuit of holiness? So heart, mind, soul, and strength, that means a lot more than just love God a lot, which is kind of how we read this first commandment often. Sometimes people think, you Christians overcomplicate the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus was just love God and love your neighbor. He didn't say love God and love your neighbor. He said love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that entails a lot of specific things. It's not some vague feeling of or recognition of the fact that God is the most lovable or the most important. That's one thing, to recognize that. But that doesn't at all mean that you actually love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what the whole Christian life is about. And that's why God says that everything is summed up in those two laws. Love of God above all things with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the love of your neighbor as yourself. Those are by no means the only two laws, but they are the laws that sum up everything that we need to do as Christians. And that's a lot of stuff, right? To think about in how many things my heart is engaged, how many things my mind is engaged in, my soul, my strength, and what percentage of my heart, mind, soul, and strength daily is occupied with God, is focused on God. I've said before, you know, you ask people, do you pray? Yes, every day. Okay, what's your prayer like? Well, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which you're about to receive. Do that every day, sometimes twice. Wow, amazing. So if we break that down into percentage of your heart and your mind, your soul and your strength being occupied with God, it's a very, very small percentage, right? And it's fine to apply your mind, heart, soul, and strength to other things in this world because that we need to live in this world. We need to navigate this world. But all of them need to be in view of our relationship with God. Everything needs to be gathered under that one category, right? Otherwise, we pursue idols. We pursue things that lead us away from God. So let's pray during this Mass that we receive the grace to fill up in us whatever is lacking in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, in our strength, whatever is lacking in getting us to focus all of those things, all of those efforts on God and on our love of Him, our knowledge of Him, and so that we can finally hear at the end of our life that we are not far from the kingdom of God, that very consoling statement from God to the scribe who asked Him about the law. He said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." May we be blessed and filled with grace to be able to hear that very same thing.